Hebrews chapter 11. If the weather continues to go like it is, we'll probably either move the service to an evening one or roll it a little bit earlier. I know all of you last time said you were up for an earlier service. I appreciate that. And pray for our county and for our governor, and pray that we'll be able to, Lord willing, in a few weeks, be able to have church in the middle of the buildings there. That won't happen without his approval. And so I'm just asking God, I want to ask every Christian I know to ask God to help us to be able to meet together. We need to be together. And if we can't do that, we may try a couple of other different creative ways to try to get pods of people in different places to watch the service together. Because God's people are designed to be together. It's a body of Christ. And so this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes from Hebrews chapter 11. And the title of the message is America the Beautiful. And I want to try to ask the Lord to help me to give us what we need, not only to see America beautiful again, but to be beautiful again. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, notice in verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Notice the word substance and hoped. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. The Bible says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, notice the statement, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Look at verse 7. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen yet, as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive an inheritance, look at the next word, obeyed. Father, we love you and we thank you for your word. I pray that you'd please use me this morning for your glory and honor. God, I pray that you'd help me to say those things that you want me to say, and withhold from me those things that you would have me, Lord, not to say, so that I could be a blessing. I pray that you would encourage us today in Jesus' name. Amen. Faith is a very important word in the Bible. For instance, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans chapter 5 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, faith has been defined in many different ways, but there are two particular definitions that have recently caught my attention. One is believing God to the point of action. Faith is believing God to the point of action. I like another one that says, faith is humanity's favorable response to God's revelation. I really like that. However, you may view it, your faith is important to God because the greater your faith in God, the more he will do through you. Now, I want you to think about this. On this 4th of July weekend, America is celebrating her 244th birthday. Certainly, America was created beautiful as a countryside. We understand the words that we sang. But as a citizenship, our country, our beauty, has been scarred. As a nation, our country has seen better days. And if we're to ever experience those days again, it will be because God's people have decided to make their faith visible. You see, faith in God is what made this land what it was. And the lack of public faith is what has made this land what it is. I'll say that again. Faith in God is what made this land what it was. But the lack of faith in God has made this land what it is. A land where the value of life is being leveraged. A nation where the truth is suspect. A nation, as a nation, we are quickly becoming a country without a future. And yet the light that shines brightest in the dark is the light of faith in God in the truth. And there's nothing that brings more hope than our faith in the Almighty God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You see, faith in God, by the Bible definition, is intended to be for public display, not for private disclosure. It's not something that we're supposed to express privately. Yes, it's a personal matter, but God intended it to be a public matter as well. It's supposed to be on display because true faith is believing God to action. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said this, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that cannot be hid on a hill, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your life so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." What's Jesus saying? He's saying your faith is not supposed to be private. Your faith is supposed to be public. As a believer, the greatest impact ever to occur in your life happened the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. So it stands to reason that when that faith brings you to a point of action, that it is designed to impact others. What is America lacking in order to be beautiful and great again? It's not a great president. It may not even be the same president. What America is lacking is faith. And not just to have a faith, but a faith in God. It's faith. Faith in God through Christ. And what is being attacked? Faith. What is being lost? Faith and hope. So I want to ask you to consider your faith this morning in God. And what does it move you to do? Because you see, that's what faith is. Faith is something that moves me to action. So let's just consider what we learned here briefly this morning by way of the Bible. First of all, and I think you have it in your outlines, faith made Abel worship God in verse 4. That's what faith did to Abel, is that moved him to worship. We don't know many details about Abel's life and faith, but we do know just how much was revealed to him. We do know that his faith caused him to worship God. We do know that his faith caused him to bring an acceptable sacrifice. We do know that his faith in God was impactful, and so he picked the choicest lamb, and he brought that choicest lamb as an offering. Why? Because it pleased God. Because he knew and trusted in God's appointed sacrifice. His faith made him worship God. And by the way, that's what true faith does. Listen to the Bible in John chapter 9 and verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" He answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee." And he said, "Lord, I believe." And notice the next phrase, "And he worshiped him." What does true faith do? True faith looks for the opportunity to worship God. True faith doesn't decide, well, I don't need to worship God today. I don't need to assemble today. No, true faith moves you to worship God. Psalm 29 and verse 2, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Psalm 95, "Oh, come, let us." You see, it's plural. Faith in God that moves us to action is supposed to be public with others. Let us worship the Lord and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You see, there's something wrong with a life that doesn't worship God. There's something wrong with a faith that doesn't worship God, that's not looking for the opportunity, because real faith desires every opportunity to worship and glorify God. Number one, faith moved Abel to worship. Number two, faith made Enoch walk with God. Enoch's faith moved him, made him walk with God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 22, Enoch walked with God after that he begot Methuselah 300 years. Verse 23, "And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." He walked with God, his life was pleasing to God, and what did God do? God delivered him, not only from the evil of his day, did you hear me? Not only from the evil of his day, but he delivered him from death itself. He said, "Enoch, you're going to be the first one to picture what it looks like to overcome death. You're coming up with me." What an amazing truth that his faith moved him to walk with God, and because of that, God delivered him. Did you know that tells me that our faith in God should be life-changing for us? It should be life-changing. In fact, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's the same old person that he's always been after he got saved. He does all the same things. Nothing becomes new. Everything's all the same old way, the same tongue, the same look, the same entertainment. No, that's not what it says. It says the opposite. All things. That word should be circled, highlighted. All things about that life become new. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? That's our faith that moves us to walk with God, being public for somebody else. Can somebody just honk and say amen right there? That's the reality of our faith. The reality of our faith. When a person walks with God, listen to this. It's because they want to. Someone who has faith in the God of all heaven wants to walk with the God of all heaven. Faith wants to walk with God. And as they walk with God, their life changes. In what way has your life changed because of your faith in God? Now that's something that you have to answer. That's something that you're going to have to answer to God for. When you got saved, how was your life changed? Because the Bible principle is that my faith moves me to walk with God. By the way, you can't walk with God and stay the same. It's an impossibility. Because you cannot come in contact with the holy and him not reveal unto you and I what is unholy. God says, I want you to walk with me. I want you to trust me. Does your life please God? The Bible says before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. What makes a person diligently seek God? Their faith. What makes a person want to walk with God? Their faith. It's their faith and trust in God that moves them to seek after as well. Are you doing that? It's their faith and trust in God that's saying, God, would you guide me? I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this relationship. I don't know what to say to this person when they say this. I don't know how to respond when they say that. Listen, faith moved Enoch to walk with God. I fully believe in my heart that Enoch was not just totally surrendered, but he was searching always. God, how do you want me to handle today? Because the day and age that he lived in, listen carefully, was very similar to the one we're living in today. Now, the fact of the matter is, faith moved Abel to worship God. Faith moved Enoch to walk with God. Thirdly, faith made Noah work for God. The Bible says when Noah was warned of God of what was to come, and it hadn't yet been, that Noah moved with fear and prepared. He prepared an ark for the saving of his family. Listen carefully this morning. What we're witnessing today in terms of lawlessness, violence, prejudice, and evil is not the first time the world has ever been like this. It's not. It's been like this since the days, according to Jesus, of Noah. And that's the days that Enoch lived in. Same days. This is not the first time that justice has fallen in the street. This is not the first time that rulers have been prejudiced. This is not the first time that people have been oppressed. This is not the first time that people have died. People have been dying since Genesis chapter 3 unjustly. My point is that Noah's faith was not in somebody to fix it. Noah's faith was in the God who helped him overcome it. Noah didn't sink in the waves. He rode on top of the waves. Why? Because of faith. In fact, at one point the world got so bad, God destroyed every human being except Noah and his family because of their evil. The Bible says God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That sounds familiar to me. And it repented the Lord. It grieved him that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Now, this is the tragic story, by the way, of the decline of humanity because of sin. Just like the second law of thermodynamics, everything left to itself is going to degrade. It's going to go bad. And yet, in the midst of this tragic story comes the power of grace by faith. Remember what I said? For by grace are you saved through faith. The Bible says in verse 8 of that same passage that grace was on Noah's life. Why? Because previously you learned that Noah also walked with God. And he was perfect in every one of his generations that he lived before God. God's grace was on a man named Noah because he walked with God by faith. So, when God told him to build an ark to save his family, he doesn't hesitate. He didn't question. He didn't ask, what does this do for my future plans? God, I didn't want to be a sailor. I had other plans. And what's this do for my neighbors? What's this do for my career? He didn't say that. He simply went to work. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear and prepared. Why did he build an ark? Because he believed God. The bottom line is because he believed God. He believed that God had a purpose for his life. He believed that what God told him was true. So, think about this. Every swing of the hammer said, I believe God. Every bob of pitch said, I believe God. Every saw that went back and forth was saying, I believe God. And that mantra moved him to do something for his family. What does your faith do for you? What does your faith make you do? You see, it made Abel worship God. His faith in God, his faith in God's word, his faith in who God was, moved him to worship. It moved Abel to worship. It moved Noah to work. It moved Enoch to walk. Why? Because without faith, without work, faith is dead. Without action, it's not real faith. Why? Because true faith moves you to action. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? You know what he's saying? Your life is empty without faith in God, but true faith in God always leads to works. It always moves us to do something for God. Now think about this. We talked about Abel. We talked about Enoch. We talked about Noah. Just benchmarks of faith. But there's one more that I read at the end, and that's Abraham. The Bible tells us that faith made Abraham obey God. Now think about what I just, the 4 points of this message. One is worship. One is walking with God. One is working for God. And this last one is just doing God's will. It's just obeying every impulse of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting, when children obey their parents, you know what it shows? That they trust their parents. When children obey their parents, it shows they trust their parents. Did you know it's no different when God's children obey Him? When God, the Bible says that Abraham, when he was called onto a place that he had not been, that he obeyed. Now, that's a great word for us as parents to teach our children, isn't it? We love to teach the importance of obedience. We like to teach that to our employees so that they learn to obey. We don't want to call it that, but obedience is a big deal when it's going that way, from us out. But it's a bigger deal to God when it goes from us up. That's obedience. Does your faith move you to obey God? Does your faith move you to walk with God? Does your faith move you to worship God? Because that's what faith does. 1 Samuel 15 says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Obey is better. That would be a great slogan to put on the door of your child's door, a sticker on your child's door as they go out before they leave. Obey is better. It's better to obey. Be good for us as children of God. You see, there's a great withholding of the fullness of joy from the life who is more accustomed to asking for forgiveness for the wrong things rather than seeking God's guidance for the right things. There's a great withholding of the fullness of joy in the life that's always asking for forgiveness for the wrong things rather than asking guidance for the right things. Verse 6, notice in the Bible, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Notice what it says. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Jeremiah chapter 7 verse 23 says, "But this command I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk in all the ways that I've commanded you, that it may be well unto you." You see, we say those words always to our children, but God said them to us first. He said, look, I want you to understand that there's a fullness when you decide that you trust me enough to obey me. Now, I will say this. You'll never obey God by faith if you're not walking with God by faith. You'll never walk with God by faith if you're not worshiping God by faith. And if you're not doing any of those, I will tell you that you will never work for God by faith. The fact of the matter is, faith, your faith, moves you to do something. Faith made Abel worship God. It made Enoch walk with God. It made Noah work with for God. And it made Abraham obey the will of God. So what does your faith make you do? What does your light look like? How is it shining? Because Jesus said that people are supposed to see it. It's visible. It's meant for public display, not for private disclosure. If America is going to ever be beautiful again, it will not be because of a party of a people. It will be because the faith of God's people moved us to action. Actions that make a difference in us and in others. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for your promises. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you, God, for these that are here, these that are listening today. Lord, my hope is that what you see in us will be seen by others. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just take about 60 seconds? Would you ask God to help make your faith visible? I don't know what part of the message that you need to hone in on. Maybe your faith is not making you walk with God. Maybe you haven't spent much time with him in prayer and in devotion to him. I don't know if your faith is not making you work for God. I don't know if your faith is not carried you to the obedience part, but it's all a matter of trust. Would you ask the Lord today, not to increase your faith, but to help you make your faith visible? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace and your mercy. God, we're so thankful that your love moved you to action for us. Your desire to save us and to be with us and to be our God is noted over and over in Scripture. You proved it on the cross. We're so thankful. God, today, would you take what we have, broken lives, lives that are dented and busted up, lives that are prone to fail and prone to sin, prone to wander. Lord, would you take us today and clean us again? Would you take us today as we lay ourselves before you, and would you please use us? I pray that you'd bless every decision made, every heart. God, please bless every heart that took the time to be here today. Please minister to them for their effort. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would remind us that you're in control of all things, that you work it all out for good, and all we have to do is wait on the Lord. I pray, Father, that you'll bless our country. I pray, God, for a blessing again of beauty, not the beauty of creation, but the beauty of Christ being visible by every born-again believer. I pray all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, thank you for being in here today. Thank you for rolling in, and thank you for tuning in online. I certainly appreciate it. It's always such a blessing to see you. I'll be communicating with all of you this week through email and trying to make sure we know how we're going to worship in the coming days. But I do want you to remember this. God is bigger than our government. God's bigger than our governor. He's bigger than rules and regulations. And he has us exactly where he wants us. If he wanted us to do anything different, he would tell us. And he would let us know. And so I just want to ask you to pray. Pray for our country, our state. Pray for our church. Pray for me that I'd have wisdom to know what to do next. And how to function and how to continue to worship the Lord properly, biblically, so that as a church we would function as the body of Christ. And I know God will bless that. So I hope that you'll join me this week in praying. And I'll be starting Wednesday night. Don't forget, I'll be starting Wednesday night our new series, just preparing for this next wave of what's coming, preparing Christians for their stand for Christ. I hope that you'll tune in for that. God bless you. Thanks for being here today. You are dismissed.